So, Hare Krishna, yesterday we were meeting together in the lecture and described a little bit the different emotions which come when our chakras are blocked and when they are opened by a process of, let us say, rising the consciousness and coming to Krishna consciousness. We were also describing yesterday that our process of bhakti yoga, when it is properly understood, can help a person to change his personality and rise to the higher emotions, ultimately emotions of love and compassion for others, and also a state of enlightenment. Now, today we will talk about something else, but I feel, Goran, we need someone to take care a little bit of the children. That's very important. Hare Krishna. You don't need to be taken care of. You are grown up. Hare Krishna, Upananda, have you forgiven me? Not 100%. So maybe, what is the solution with the children? Maybe Draupadi, I see you are going. You know what to do. Someone has to play with the children, climb on the on the mountains with the children, and so on. Or you have to make it clear to the children. They won't understand. What we do usually in Germany, we have one devotee who likes home, is so much attached to children, and plays around. We have even in Goloka Dham now a little zoo for the children, you know, little goats and tigers and everything is. some situation, I think we should keep in mind, maybe some playground or water games. It's very important that the children feel at home in the temple. That's very important. It's not that the children should feel, oh no, they are doing these lectures and kirtans and this is so boring, I don't want to come to the temple. No, there should be some, this is the duty of the parents to come together and see how can we make the visit of our children attractive. How, for instance, they can be brought to the darshan, and then there can be an extra sweet charanamrita so that the children go, Yavolam Krishna. parents have to think like this. It's very important. It's not that the children should, when you come to the temple, that the children feel, oh, now the torture starts. Mother will be angry because I am a child and she wants to sit in the lecture, and then this is not good in the education. Then children will hate the temple, and then the parents will not have a possibility to come peacefully to the temple. So, please, the Grihastas, that's your duty to sit together and see what can be arranged. As I said, in Goloka Dham, we are out in the forest, and if we don't have a zoo for the children, you know, that they can play with the children, with the animals and so on, then the parents would not come. Usually, the children now like to come so much that the parents are forced to come. this was our trick. Good. So, I would like to now refer back to the shloka to you, where it says that by the process of Krishna consciousness, a person can rise through the different modes and come to the mode of and come to a state which is called Krishna consciousness, a state beyond the influence of the material modes of material of that nature. Now it's very interesting that our personality is made out of the modes of material nature. I will read to you now two types of psychological, or three types of psychological conditions, so that it will be easy for you to find out where you are. Are you a tamasika? Have you a tamasika psychology, or a rajasika psychology, or a sattvika psychology? Now, let us start with those of us who are very much influenced by the mode of ignorance. You will soon find out it's almost every one of us. Please know that it's not that a human being is influenced only by one mode of material nature. Throughout the day, we are influenced by different types of nature. This is now the time where the mode of passion comes to a standstill and tamas manifests. There are three tamasic types of people. The first is called Pashava, and he has the characteristics of the animal. That is, this type of person always has bad feelings towards others. You know, when two dogs meet in the same territory, they are like this. A Pashava person has really a total deficiency in intelligence. He's quite often torn into hatred. He loves a lot of sleep, and he is he's exaggerating in his sexual life. He really likes it, and he wants to have it as much as possible. This is the Pashava type, which is a little bit like the animal. You know, he likes sleeping a lot, and a lot of sex, and he is having a deficiency in intelligence and kindness. Then there is another type, Matsya type, which there is an influence of Tamasa in his psychology. Such a person is very interesting. He's often very shy. This is the mode of ignorance. With this shyness, we don't mean the good quality, for instance, of someone who doesn't want to be in the center. Now, with this type of shyness, a fear is expressed. He's too fearful. This the Matsya type also has no intelligence. He really likes to eat. He is usually very unsteady in what he does. And he likes a certain type of sport, that is water sport. When you go over the beach in Opatija or Rijeka or Ostrokamp, you can find these big, Nemechka turista with their big bellies, and they lie every centimeter of the Istrian coast is occupied by them. when summertime comes, and they spend their time lying on the beach in total ignorance, somehow existing in the water. They like also water sport. Now there's another type. He's called the Vanaspatya. This person is really characterized by laziness, and he's extremely, let me say, undetermined. He just cannot make a decision. These are the three tamasika types of psychology. It happens, I believe, to every one of us the moment where we are more influenced by the mode of ignorance. You like to eat, you like to sleep, you actually develop easily feelings of enviousness and hatred towards others, and yes, you just think of water and water sport. and so on and so forth. It's quite low. Now, when a higher mode of nature strikes you, you are in the Rajasika type. Today I met a very nice Krishna conscious Mataji, and she said to me, "I think I will blush when you read the characteristic of the Rajasika type of person." Now it's time to blush. There are six types of people. One is the Asura type. He's very brave. He's very cruel. He's very powerful. He cheats others. And he always said, he always has something bad in his mind, you know. Today I was going, driving with Virachanda past the posters for The Ultimate Fight. There, and I looked at the faces of these ultimate fighters. You know, they really looked a little bit like the Asura type. Really too much. Then there is the Rakshasa type. He's very intolerant. He's always angry, cruel, and envious. And he eats meat like anything. He likes to sleep a lot. Then there is the Sapa type. I think sometimes I am like this. The Sapa type is like a snake. He is very brave when he is angry, but otherwise he is a coward. This is not so much my this is not so much my quality. My quality comes now. He's very heavy in his reactions. He terrorizes others. And sometimes his activities can be painful for his environment. You know, I sometimes feel this when I become a little bit, you know, I will be very open with you. I feel this mode of rajas sometimes when I see something is very wrong, and I have said it the 50th time. For instance, to open the windows and to close it when there are the kirtans. But of course, no one understands since we are the Hare Krishna people. And then all of a sudden you feel this huge amount of intolerance coming, and you're very heavy with your audience. You say, "Oh, best of the intelligent Vaishnavas." You know, you say like this, and you know what you mean, and everyone knows it also. You know, this is the Sapa type. It's a mode of passion, and you feel this when you get angry. You feel, this is a mode of strach now. Strach means Oh no, I was strasny. Passion. What is passion? Strasite. Whatever it is, mode of passion. You can feel this when you get very angry all of a sudden, and you get like a, you are like this. Then you know, oops, a Sapa type. Then there's a Paisacha type. These are people who are like Pisachas, that means impure ghosts. They like to eat, they're very unclean, and they were always fearful, and they are full of lust. They like all type of unclean food. Cleanliness is not to be found. Our shower after the bathing activities, that's really not required. And so on. And then it goes on. Rajasika type. There are six altogether. I will not go too much into the detail, because for obvious reasons we would be too distressed, and I also have lost one page. Hare Krishna. Sorry. So then there are the sattvika influences which happen when you are in a pure environment and when you avoid this stress. My dear devotees, too many of you are exposing themselves to too much stress. And the moment you come into this stress, which can happen either when you don't sleep enough and do so much sluchpa that you are at the end not thinking any longer of Krishna, but just, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this. And the stress, it kills your good devotional qualities. It's not good to be always in absolute stress in a way that you forget Krishna. A person who is in stress, do you know what happens to him? He gets reduced to just fighting for his survival. He just gets, oh, I hope, you know, when a preacher is in stress, I hope I don't meet another person who will steal my time. This is stress. He is no longer in the preaching mood of helping others and giving others. A pujari who's in stress is, If the temple president says I should cook one more offering, I will bloop. The devotee doesn't think any longer of service to Krishna as something wonderful, but he really thinks it's a burden, and he thinks I work so hard and everyone is so lazy, and the others are very bad and I'm very good. This is typical stress symptoms, and the result is the energies of the mode of passion take over. Stress steals a lot of sattvic qualities which we need. So let us see what happens when we go and develop the sattva gun in our life. There are 9 sattvika types. They are called after different demigods. There's the Brahma type, the Asha type, the Indra type, the Varuna type, the Yamya type, the Kubera type, and there's a type which is attracted to the Krishna consciousness movement, the Gandhava type. I will start with him. He is like a Gandhava, that means a demigod of dance. He loves music, dance, song, poesy. He likes to praise others. He likes to tell stories. That's me. He likes an epos and historical events. He also likes perfumes, usually when she is a lady, and garlands when he is a man. He likes dresses. sport, and he likes very much the association with women, and the Gandhava women like very much to be hanging out with men. I think you have seen such people, isn't it? Then there are others who are the Varuna type. These are very brave people. They are very patient, like water. They are clean. You know these devotees who are always very clean? They like to follow rites. They just hate uncleanliness. And they also like to swim in the water, but not just lazy, they really move about. they express their joy, which they have in their heart, and also sometimes their anger. Then there's the Yamya type. He always is punctual. That's very rare to find in the Hare Krishna movement. He has a very powerful memory. Okay. And who else? Then there's the Brahma type. He's pure. He is self-controlled, free from passion. He has no enviousness. You know these devotees, have you met them? They are they're always so good. And they are free from intolerance and so on. They are very friendly. They have a good behavior and so on. My dear devotees, this was just to give you a little understanding how the different modes of material nature influence our character at different states in our lives. If you wish to make good use of this knowledge, then you will try to develop the mode of goodness in your life. There's a very, very simple and effective way to increase the mode of goodness in your life. Bring order in your life. And someone who wants to increase the mode of goodness starts with this in his immediate environment. For instance, a brahmachari or a resident of the ashram who wants the mode of goodness will tidy up his room. It will look not as if a bomb has exploded in the in the brahmachari ashram or in the matati ashram, but it will look very tidy. My neighbors are Shihari and his mother, and and our devotees from Sarajevo. And once I was passing by the door, and the door was open, and it was so clean, everything was so well kept in the room, that it really looked wonderful. I have at other times visited then later the Brahmachari ashram, and it looked really like the place where you know the robbers and murderers of Zagreb live. It looked so wild and so tamasic and so on. If you wish to increase the mode of goodness, please just clean up your room. I have learned this mystery. I'm not always the best example, as Gaurahari can tell you. But since quite some time, I try to put order in my writing desk. I write a lot, and a lot comes and goes over the writing desk. And whenever I try to put everything like this, this goes here. This is used, I don't need it any longer. This I can also bring to the instruments. This goes in the back, maybe. Then immediately I feel more ordered and more focused in the mind. It's mystical. So after having put this in order, you can think of your relationships. Or maybe I have some unordered relationships and put them in order. And then you can go, first your immediate relationships, then you go into other areas of your life, and just, you will see, create the mode of sattva, and the sattva gun will empower you. I request all of you to make one experiment. Who of you lives in an apartment in Zagreb? Why don't you start, when you go to bed, it might be late. Tomorrow morning, the first thing is you put your writing desk or your room in order and see how you feel. I was today at a very nice Grihastha couple's apartment, and of course everything was very much in order. And I felt so enlivened in my Krishna consciousness that I had very good dreams and slept very Krishna consciousness. Because, you know, the sattva gun is very important. Just do me a favor, try with your writing desk or your immediate environment, and then go into other areas. Just go like, I don't need this any longer, I can batsate it. You know, every human being, normal human being, has about 100 tons of unnecessary things during one life. Do you know what they do in America? They rent spaces as big as this, where they put all their unwanted anattas. They like shopping. It's a disease in America. They just go shopping and they buy things, and then they put them everywhere. It has become a disease. It has a name, a scientific name, shopping disease or something. And they put it, and everything is unorderly in their lives and so on. Do me the favor and see how, with this simple tool of putting order into your life, you will find new energy, the energy of the mode of goodness, which will enliven you. So this is my first point. The modes influence our personality. So let us cultivate things which are in the mode of goodness, like, for instance, keeping order, and see what happens. You can also make one attempt for 1 week. You can always tell the truth for 1 week. No small lies. Like when someone asks you, how are you? And you say, very good. You're actually not very good. Tell, how am I? Conditioned. Fallen. Trying. Hot. And tired. This is not so enlightening, but when someone, just learned for 1 week to speak only the truth, maybe all your relationships will change. Maybe you will be together with the real people. It's very powerful if you cultivate habits which are in the mode of sattva gun. It is really powerful. Your life might change. I have had people who spoke for 1 week the truth, and they said, my life has changed. I'm also now with I found new friends. Hare Krishna. This is something you need to think about a little bit. It's a powerful exercise. Now, yesterday we said that by using bhakti yoga as an instrument, you can actually develop something which is higher than this mode of goodness. You can actually develop Krishna consciousness and transcend the modes. And here's a very nice lecture which Prabhupada gave in San Francisco in the year 68, and I want to read, a few sentences to you. Prabhupada said, wanted to encourage us to develop our love for Krishna. So he said, you can develop love for anything if you try for it. However, the Krishna conscious development is very natural because Krishna is not a thing belonging to a particular type of religion or a sect or some society. No, Krishna claims that I belong to everyone. Therefore, originally, you are all connected with Krishna. Simply you have forgotten, and we are trying to give you the process how you can revive your original consciousness. Then one devotee said, a question which most probably all of us have here, how long does it take? Do you think, Prabhupada, it's possible for us to become Krishna consciousness in this one life? Prabhupada says, why not? Do you think we are simply wasting our time with this process? Why a lifetime? Within a second you can do it. It's a spiritual process. You know, spiritual process means it's not within the laws of time. It's not a material process that requires so much time. It requires simply the spiritual technique to know how you can develop your attachment for Krishna. As soon as you are 100% attached to Krishna, your business is finished. And if you cannot develop fully Krishna consciousness, then that's not good. Your business is how to develop attachment for Krishna. If you are serious about it, it can be done within a second. If you are not, it cannot be done in many lives. So it depends on your serious nature. This is Srila Prabhupada, a pure devotee who speaks from the transcendental level. Prabhupada speaks about a spiritual technique of developing attachments. May I ask you how you have developed your attachments? First of all, what attachments did you have? Maybe music? Maybe movies? Maybe different types of sense enjoyment? Think, how did you develop these attachments? How did they become so strong? Wasn't it often a question of association? I remember I had a big attachment for mundane music, you know, like our generation. Syama Sundar once had expressed that there were these musicians who picked up the thoughts of our generation and they gave the thoughts back to us in the form of songs. Give Peace a Chance, Street Fighting Man. These were all thoughts which were in the younger generation. And I remember I started to become 13 years, and I listened to the Hit Parade. Then I visited concerts. Then I met musicians and talked with them, and then I was attached. It happens by association. If you wish to develop your attachment to Krishna, you also require association. Association with devotees. Prabhupada always said, for this we have created the temple. But now it is very important. Those who live in the temple or support the temple should think how they can present Krishna consciousness in such an attractive way that the attachment, the potential for attachment can really be channeled to Krishna. You know, we are at a very important crossroad. We actually have the ability to form a society. The society needs a lot of culture. We should here in this temple, it would be so nice if again we can create Krishna culture. I remember in the past there was a theater group in Zagreb which performed very nice Krishna conscious theaters, for instance the play about Queen Kunti, or I remember Dayamayi, who has created the play Bharata Maharaj. This is very important for a society. Or different types of music need to be created. We have very good musicians with all types of things. You must, if you want to create a culture, a society of Krishna devotees, you must create a culture which gives people association with Krishna. Our Western culture does have a few musicians who give people an understanding of God, but nowadays this is no longer modern. I know in the Western culture there was one composer called Bach. Have you heard about him? He has composed many things. I think we all have heard Bach. And listen to this particular event. He had just composed a piece of music, and he always signed, "This was given to me by God." So one evening, he gave a musical concert in a hall as big as this one, and he played his newest piece of music. He played older pieces, but also his newest piece. And he came to one particular piece, where he felt so emotionally moved. He went like with the piano. I don't know at the moment of a good Bach piece. And then he was so moved he fell down from his stolitsa. Then the people said, well, they gave some water on his head and he, please try again, Johann Sebastian Bach. So he went again, he came again to the piece, and again he fell from his stolitsa. The people suggested to him, for the sake of our piano evening, just drop this piece which moves you so much. Just you skip it and, you know, go to where it's all right, and then start here again. And just drop this. But he said, no, I cannot. It was given to God. How can I cut to pieces what was given by me, given to me by God? All the people felt very God conscious at that moment. Yes, it's not possible. It's not possible. You have to try again. So they gave him a lot of water and some massage, and they all went. And he made it. The time. Would be nice to know what piece it was, but I forgot it. See, we also need this culture to develop our attachment for Krishna. This material culture, with its music, movies, and so on, has helped us to develop our attachment for non-Krishna. Ooh, so much it's still with us. So Prabhupada said, develop your attachment for Krishna. Our teenagers need good Krishna conscious teenagers examples. Otherwise, their hair will grow like Jimi Hendrix, and they will take shelter in other cultures. Hairstyles, you can have whatever hairstyle you want. We are not in the old time, and we don't want to make you cry. But what I wish to say is, we should have something which supports us in culture. And I want to request the devotees who have some idea of culture to please present it. It's very important, very important. See, when does your attachment to Krishna also wake up? Culture is one thing. The right environment is also very important. If you go into nature, it will be more easy for you to think of God than if you go into a rock and roll cafe bar. So, the right environment is important. Therefore, I request all of you, let us make this temple so sattvic, so nice, you know, that it's simply the architecture of the temple will just inspire us in our Krishna consciousness. We will meet our friends here. We feel it's a home for us because and we will have nice pictures and so on. There is, I agree, the Croatian charm of unfinished buildings has a certain charm. You always feel like in a pioneer spirit. But there is also a very sattvic atmosphere with finished buildings. And especially when it is something which inspires us for Krishna consciousness. In the old times, people knew to create an environment which would immediately bring forth your memory of God consciousness. This year, Gaurahari and myself went for the first time in our lives to South India. It was your first time also? It was my first time also. And we went into these temples. And we became already God conscious when we just stepped over the first step, because there were in the stone two images. There were the builder, King Kula Shikhar. He had been engraved in the stone of the step. So you have to step over the step, and you have to step over King Kula Shikhar. You feel like, should I really go inside? I mean, you know, you don't want to step over. And then you are explained, no, it's all right. He was so humble. He was the king, but he wanted that all the pilgrims who go into the temple step over his body, you know, stone body, the image, so that the dust from their lotus feet falls on his head and the body of his wife. And the wife is also there. They are full obeisances, and so on. And you see this, and you immediately think, wow, is he humble? Maybe I should learn something to it. So that from the first step you do into a proper temple, you are reminded of God and of spiritual qualities which are inspiring to you. This also, here we should, all of you congregational members, you should think how maybe to plant an attractive garden. Someone is a gardener. Maybe we will request Gaurahari. He can paint everything. He's a painter by profession. You can maybe give some ideas. Maybe sometimes come even and fight the Croatian charm, you know, finish everything. It's very important, you know, that it's the right environment. There's a whole science about it. It's called the science of Vastu, which has a lot to influences you a lot. And I will tell you a story from Gadadha's life. Gadadha finally, his wife Kalakanta received a child and was pregnant, but when she went to the ultrasound investigation, the doctors told her she would lose her child within a few days. Kalakanta was very depressed, and Gadadhar also, because they wanted to have a child. Then Gadadhar thought, maybe my wife has to go through this traumatic experience because we live in a compromise. I'm preaching Vastu all over Europe and Krishna consciousness, but I live in a compromise. The main entrance in Burg Schönau, that's where the Veda Academy is stationed at the moment, is in the southwest. And if the main entrance is in the southwest, this means death for the child of the family. Then Gadadha asked Ishan if those who lived before the devotees in that Burg Schönau, if there was some children had died. And Ishan said, yes, my auntie lived here and her child died. So Gadadhar wanted to save his child, and in one night they closed the entrance in the southwest. When the mailman came in the morning, he had a nervous breakdown. It's closed, you cannot enter the Veda Academy anywhere any longer. You have to climb through Gangamayi's window. No, it's not so bad. You have to go through the workshops and from the back and then further to the back. Then you have to climb some little, tiny little staircase and then you can enter. You know, the right environment can influence us so much, especially when we go in the association of serious devotees. Another factor which can help you to develop your attachment to Krishna is Krishna conscious literature. When you read Krishna conscious literature, you should try to enter the scene. Like when you open the Bhagavatam, you should first prepare your consciousness and think, now I will go now with my mind to the bank of the Ganga. There are all the sadhus of the universe together to advise Parikshit Maharaj, who only has a few more days to live, what is the ultimate aim of life. And then you enter the Bhagavatam like this. What you can do before reading a sacred literature is you can prepare your consciousness by praying some good prayers. This we do. Nashta pray Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narotama. In our meditation we go high into the Himalayan mountains. We go where Vyasadeva lives. We go in our mind's eye to the river Saraswati. And the Narayan Rishi, you have to go there one day in your real life. And you prepare yourself to enter the Holy Scriptures. I want to give you another process which will help you to develop your attachment to Krishna. Prayers. Ooh, prayers are so powerful. This is one of four prayer books. Nityananda Kari's production. I have four. They are the similar size. I like this very much. I'm going through them one after the other. Then they start from the beginning again. Here's a very... Would you like to hear a good prayer? Really? My dear mind, you have brought unending trouble upon myself, because you were totally under the influence of matter. My dear mind, you fool, you have left the company of Radhe Syam in Braj Dham. You have come to this material world, my mind. Now, my mind, you are trapped in the prison house of Maya Devi. You are thrown about by your different desires, and you slave and slave and slave with your useless mundane labor. All you think from morning till evening is I and mine. And you have attraction and repulsion for dull material things. My dear mind, do you know that you are actually full of spiritual conscious bliss? Do you know where to find happiness? It's in Krishna Seva. But you, you have fallen in the hands of the five material elements, and you have become like an ignorant sheep who is helpless within the grip of Maya. Now, my dear mind, go to the company of sadhus and discuss topics of eternal Krishna consciousness. My mind, my brother, give up your insignificant play. Give up your games. Please accept this advice. Enter into the river of devotion. You know, when you read this, at the moment it's a maletishko. Oh, my dear mind, you are a fool. Oops. And in the moment, at first moment, you feel a little, oh, do I have to tolerate this prayer? But as you enter into it, you become purified from illusions and you become very strong. At the end, I would like to give one last suggestion how to develop your attachment to Krishna. You will not believe your ears. And when I finish this, we will make a 5-minute pause, and then we will enter into a powerful meditation, which I have given in Radha Desh and in different places all over the world. And this is my first time in Croatia. You will like it very much. It's very soft and very enlightening, and you will really go, oh, oof, shoop. You will have some new perspective in your life. One thing which is very important for us devotees who are very sensitive, to cultivate satisfaction even when we come in a situation where our desires are not fulfilled by Krishna. Very often there is a deep spiritual purpose behind it. You should meditate often is your good fortune and good luck that your desires are not fulfilled. So I know it's a different perspective. I would like to give you a little story which will illustrate this. Once, there was a young man who liked old things, antiquiteten, how do we say it? Antiques. And amongst all the different types of antique furniture and other items, he liked teacups the most. It so happened that he made holiday in Zagreb. He found an antique shop, and immediately he went inside and looked around. And yes, there in one corner, he saw a teacup which had Turkish paintings on it. And he said to the old man in the shop, please give me the teacup. I want to look at it. Now, as he picked up the teacup, and please, this is a true story, the teacup began to talk to him. Yes, it said, hello. Yes, I'm talking. You don't understand, said the teacup. There was a time when I was not a teacup. Listen to my story. I was just some clay outside the town. Then one day my master came. He took me, brought me to his home and started to knead on me. I thought, I better don't say anything. Maybe he stops soon. Then he brought me on. What is it called? Potter's wheel. And he started to spin me around. I said, stop, stop, stop. I'm feeling like vomiting. My master answered, not yet. Then he placed me into the oven. It was so hot. It was 1,000,000 times hotter than the hottest Zagreb summer. I screamed through the window in the oven to my master and said, please, this is too hot. Take me out. I saw only the lips of my master moving. Not yet. When I almost thought I was dead, he brought me on a shelf and he started to paint with these ugly chemical paintings, colors on me. The fumes were so poisonous that I almost passed out and I screamed, please leave me alone. He said, not yet. You're not ready. Then he put me again in the oven with the only difference that this time it was 2,000,000 times as hot as the hottest Zagreb summer. When I was almost dead, my master took me out, put me in the shelf for cooling. I waited and waited. Then I heard his steps. I thought, oh no, now the worst thing will happen. He will kill me now. But he said, I brought a mirror for you. Look inside. When I looked in the mirror, I saw a beautiful cup with colors. I said, oh no, this can't be me. My master looked at me with compassion and said, this is what you were meant to become. Hare Krishna. What you were meant to become. Now you are ready. You can serve. Yes, and from this moment, said the teacup, I began to think of service. My master told me later, I knew when I took you out of the earth and kneaded you. Kneaded means that it would be painful. But without it, you would not have survived what would have to come later. I knew when I put you on the potter's wheel that you would become dizzy. But if I hadn't done it, you wouldn't have taken form. I also knew when I burned you the first time, it would be too hot for you. But if you would have had no heat, you would not have become firm. And imagine, I would not have applied colors to your life. How boring your life would have been. So now you are ready. This is my story, said the teacup. I hope you understand. And became silent. The young man thought, pow! He asked the man, what is the price of this teacup? Oh, said the man, this is very cheap. Only 5 kunas, because I don't have a set of this. I only have 1 cup. It's unique. Only 5 kunas. The man said, here, take 10 kunas. He took the cup. And whenever he thought that life was too tough for him, he was actually a Hare Krishna devotee. It was his secret attachment. When he thought that things, his desires had not been fulfilled. Oh, when he thought, oh, Malateshko, so heavy my life. He remembered the story of the teacup. And he understood that Lord Krishna had his plan to form him and bring him into shape. That yes, he could ultimately become a pleasing servant in the spiritual world where every step is a dance and every word a song, and where there's real love and not the, reflection of love. Yes. So when I wanted to give you this as something to think about in your lives. Please, you are on a spiritual path. You want to develop attachment to Krishna. And for this, it is necessary that you develop this simple, childlike faith that whatever Krishna does to you has its own benefit, or has its own, there is always a reason behind it. And by developing this simple faith in Krishna, you will be able to relax your control systems, which anyways don't work, and become actually happy and develop devotional emotions, which will help you very much. Also, I would like to say that when you feel something in your mind, something you want, go before the deities. Come at a time when not so many are here, where you can pray to the deities nicely. And pray also that one day maybe in Zagreb we can worship Radha and Krishna, the Lord and Mistress of the divine couple of Vrindavan. Yeah. So Hare Krishna.